wonderful. Okay, I'm turned on, so I should be okay. I have done notes again. Oh, shall I pass them round? Just in case I get distracted. Because, you know, I'm easily distracted. Go that way, and some go that way. You might have to share, because there's a lot of you in today. Hooray! It's raining. Yeah. There was nothing better to do. Very good. I love the heckling. Or as Chris said, if you've got anything you need to say, just put it on a piece of paper, pass it up, and if it's worth reading, then we'll share it with everyone. And I've got notes from last time if you didn't catch them. Right. Are they in Greek? There is a little Greek on there, as you know. Right, where did I put that? So I have some funny stories. This one doesn't involve Alex. He's not even worried too much anyway. So what's the favourite hymn of an accountant? Count your blessings. Yes. The favourite hymn of an astronaut? Nearer my God to thee. The favourite hymn of a baker? I need thee every hour. Don't worry, they're going to get worse. The barber? A parting hymn we sing. Sorry. These are awful. some of them. The chiropractor. Awake my soul. Stretch every... Anyway, never mind. Civil engineer. The civil engineer and surveyor. Yes. When I survey, you know the dentist's one, don't you? Crown him with many crowns. The electrician, a joyful light. Oh, the gossiper. I know there are none of those in here. Yeah, pass it on. Or over a thousand tongues we sing. The historian. Their favourite hymn is Tell Me the Old, Old Story. The mathematician, he likes a modern one. It's 10,000 reasons. Anyway. And the newlywed man. Yeah, I need thee every hour. Anyway. I am terrible. Hello, it's nice to see you again. How are you?
Fine.
What happened last month?
You
had some prayer. And this is our friend, I know I've forgotten your name, Neris.
Yes.
And Peter, hello. After prayer, how did you feel? You don't have to tell anybody what the problem was.
No, but I have had virtually no symptoms.
No symptoms,
almost
no symptoms since prayer. Because Amanda prayed for you and nothing. Amen. Praise God! How are you? Ongoing. Good. We'll keep praying for you. So, I'm encouraging, I'm not embarrassed, but I am embarrassing. I do apologise.
Okay.
And like I've done, Ed, when we've prayed for people, it's good to share that story. So Ed received a healing after prayer, and Neris has received a measure of healing after prayer. God's doing something, isn't he? He says, and he doesn't have to do it through Clive. It's amazing. He could use any one of you to bless you. So we, after the service, if you need prayer, there are seats at the front. We will pray with you because we want to bless you. So the sermon today is part two of The Glory of Jesus. Okay? And we're looking at Revelation chapter 1 again because I love it. And you know that I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal preacher because I believe in Jesus Christ and a four-square gospel. That Jesus is your Savior, he is your baptizer in the Holy Spirit, he's your healer, and he is the coming King. And actually, in my devotionals this morning, I was reading Luke 21. Jesus says, these things will happen. And he describes a number of things that will happen. But he says every time, fear not. This is not something to be afraid of. Hallelujah. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the word revelation carries with it an uncovering, a revealing. And the book of Revelation uncovers and reveals prophetic truth, things that are happening. And it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which can either mean that comes from Christ or the revelation is about Christ. But both senses, I believe, are true. See, in verse 1, which God gave to him. Now, I'm going to go deliberately through these eight verses. I've chosen eight verses because I know that I've not got time to do everything. I do try to give you lots of information, and I may not get through all of this in a day. But we have 3 hours, don't we? You don't know me very well. See, which God gave to him. The Father gave the revelation to Jesus. He's glorious. This is about him. Things that soon must take place. John recorded Revelation in Greek, did he not, Michael?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And the Greek word translated here, which I can't pronounce, means soon. And can mean quickly, swift, speedily, and at a rapid rate. And you can see that in Luke 18. This is about the revealing of who Jesus is. Because if we got a picture of how big our God is, we'd be blown away. We would not have words to say. That's why Wesley wrote the hymn, for 1,000 tongues to sing. That's why the hymn writers, they had a glimpse of heaven. And it's vast. And it's the same loving God that loves you. Revelation 1:1, the term indicates that when the predictive events start to occur, they're going to happen rapidly. So he made it known to an angel. So God the Father gave Jesus the revelation to Jesus, and then Christ committed it to John via an angel. The specific angels not mentioned. But I have a sense it's Gabriel, because Gabriel's the one who revealed to Daniel, Mary, and Zechariah all the most important events prophetically. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 8, 16, Daniel 9, 21, and Luke 1. And you can see that when God communicates specifically to humans, particularly, he uses Gabriel. In other occasions, back in the Old Testament, it's the angel of the Lord. Certainly that was Gideon's experience. To his servant John. Now, we talked a little bit last time about who John was. So the angel was the intermediary between Christ and John, and elsewhere in Revelation, John comes to communicate with different people. Christ himself, Revelation 1, from an elder in Revelation 7, and a voice from heaven. We assume that's the Father, Revelation 10. John was commissioned to pass this on to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. He was called to be a witness. John faithfully testifies and vouches for all he had witnessed in the divine revelation. So if we come with a vision, a word of prophecy, yet we are witnesses to that by the Holy Spirit. Blessed. Now, the word blessed, do you know you are happy people? This is the first of seven pronouncements of blessings in the book of Revelation. Revelation 13, Revelation 16, 15, 19 and 9, 20 and 6, 22, 7 and verse 14. There are blessings all the way through the book of Revelation for reading this, to getting hold of this. Wow. The one who reads it aloud. So, Mike, you've read it aloud today. There's a blessing on you. Oh, he's already gone. Revelation's the only book in the Bible, which I said last time, that gives a promise, a blessing, to those who read it aloud. John's contemporaries did not own copies of Scripture. So when you go to church, you had to read the letters aloud. Do you know, I do wonder the state of the American church, but also the state of the English church. If the apostles were around today, we'd be getting a letter, wouldn't we? And in Wales, we're perfect. Blessed are they that hear and keep what is written in it. So obedience is the key to blessings. We should not just be hearers of the word, but doing it. Wow, what an amazing church we would be if we were doing the things the Bible said we could do. But that would also mean that we'd have to stop doing the things the Bible says we shouldn't do. But if we did the things that are in the Bible that says we should do, we'd be a busy church. Did you follow that? I'm not worried. For the time is near. Verse 3. After all, Scripture indicates there will be enough of a delay in the second coming that people will begin to wonder if it's ever going to occur. Matthew 24, Luke 21, and 2 Peter 3. Near means that it's imminent. We are closer to the second coming than we've ever been in our lives. I am older than I've ever been today. As some of the cards I've received today remind me. Where was I? So the next event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, and that can happen any time. Does that fill me with fear? No. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So if I to live is Christ, to die is gain. I win either way. I'm only passing through. I'm an alien. She's on form today. So I know heaven is my home. You know, and so I'm an ambassador of the kingdom. You are all ambassadors of the kingdom to do the kingdom thing. And so we are commissioned and called in Revelation to believe and expect for something good to happen. So Revelation 1, 4 to 6 says, John to the seven churches. Now the seven churches were experiencing severe persecution, and they were called to shine as lights in the midst of darkness. Matthew 5 and Philippians 2 talk about that. In Revelation 2 and 3 reveals that five of these churches needed some internal corrections. How many of us need that gentle encouragement to get back on course, to be more focused, not to be distracted? I am so easily distracted just walking in the kitchen and thinking, what did I come in here for? Or is that just my age? One of the reasons the book of Revelation was written was to encourage and motivate these believers during their suffering. And it encourages us that Jesus is with us even in the difficult days that we're going through. There's difficulty with your heating bills, isn't there? There's difficulty making ends meet. There's difficulties with health. There's difficulties with your mental health. There's difficulties with family. Oh my goodness, families are weird, aren't they? They can drive you batty. I mean, we're not allowed to give people a slap anymore. I grew up with a belt. And I was disciplined, and I knew what respect and discipline meant. But that can be taken too far. But we need to learn that dignity and respect when someone comes alongside to just correct our paths. And this is what the revelation of Jesus begins to do. And the first words he speaks is grace and peace. So peace, the peace of God, the shalom, would have been passed amongst the Jewish believers. Nothing missing, nothing taken away. The shalom was praying a blessing on you. To say shalom means that you are blessed. It came from the Abrahamic blessing. You know, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to smile upon you. I know it says shine. I've just adapted it to smile, because every time he looks at your face, he's smiling. Oh, bless. That God's blessing is upon you. The shalom of God is upon you. So John, in his writing, is saying grace and peace. So the grace refers to God's unmerited favor, and peace refers to your standing before God, rooted in Christ's work of salvation on the cross. For him who is and who was and who is to come. This is the eternal Father, God in eternity. Wow. But then it goes on to describe, and I really could preach a whole sermon on this, but I'm not going to. Revelation 1, 4, there's seven spirits of God. Now, in the Bible, seven is associated with completion, fulfillment, and perfection. Genesis 2, Exodus 20, verse 10, Leviticus 14, verse 7, Acts 6, verse 3. The number seven recurs a number of times in the book of Revelation. You can see sevens everywhere. And it can drive you mad if you keep looking. But there are seven churches, seven lampstands, seven stars, seven torches before the throne. There are seven seals, seven horns and eyes on the Lamb, seven spirits of God, seven angels with trumpets, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven heads on the dragon, and seven heads of the beast. Wow. And that's only some of them. There are lots of sevens in the Bible. And when God says something seven times, and you can see it throughout Scripture, it's seven or 12, there's something significant he's saying. For from him who is and was and is to come, the seven spirits are Jesus Christ. Seven spirits represent the Holy Spirit. We witness each person of the Trinity in verses 4 and 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, 5. Jesus is the faithful and reliable source of revelation being communicated to John, the firstborn of the dead, verse 5. This means that Christ was the first to permanently be raised from the dead. The term indicates that Christ is supreme. He's the preeminent one among those who have been or will be raised from the dead. Psalm 89:27 and Colossians 1:15. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's alive. Oh, the old song that went, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. We used to sing it a lot about 40-odd years ago. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. It's the assurance that you have a daily walk with Jesus and he's with you. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. See, I knew some of you knew it. He's the ruler of the kings of earth. Oh, we don't hear this word until recently, the sovereign. You know, next week we are facing the coronation of King Charles III. He is the sovereign over the UK. But there is a King of Kings. There is a Lord of Lords. And he is supreme and sovereign in our lives and in our world. He is above all other rulers. He is Christ is the absolute ruler of the world. He freed us from sin, verse 5. Jesus saves people from sin. Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Why do I put these Hebrew terms in? It's because our faith is rooted in Hebrew tradition, not necessarily Greek tradition. And that will change your perspective on a number of things. That's why I love people coming and asking questions. Write things down. I love people going, you know, I know that you're so good at heckling. But it is about an interaction. It's a discussion. We are discovering what's here in Scripture. If I was just being Greek, this would be a lecture. But it's not. We all participate in what's being said. And participatory learning is a Hebrew idea. Just by the way, he made us a kingdom, a priest to our Father God. All of us, we are a priesthood of all believers. There's no special Clive special. Well, I am. I've got special needs. Stop it. But you are all special, precious in God's sight. You are loved. You are special and chosen in his kingdom. And to him be glory forever and ever. This is the yearning and utterance of praise of Christians of all generations to recognize that God is an awesome God. Our songs, some of the songs we've sung today, some of the music we sing should bring glory to God. We went through a phase years ago, was all about, it's all about me. And it's not all about me. It's all about Jesus. Bring glory to Jesus. The glory we celebrate is the glory of what he's accomplished in each and every life in this room. Each one of you are a precious diamond in the hand of God, Isaiah says. You are a royal diadem in the hand of your God. He clothes you. He can array you with the robe of righteousness, Isaiah says. Why? Because that robe casts off the spirit of mourning for the robe of righteousness, the robe of praise and worship. When we praise and worship, we can change the atmosphere in our home. We can change the atmosphere in our very spirit when we focus on Jesus and his glory. Choose to glorify him. If I sit here all day going, nobody loves me, nobody likes me, I'll go to the garden, eat some worms. Not even the worms like me. I can't find any worms. No, it's take captive those thoughts, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and deal with them. How do we deal with them? We turn them around. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. It changes. God has paid the ultimate price for my life. So to get up in the morning, to take breath in the morning, for most of us is, you know, good morning, Lord. Isn't it? For some of you, it might be, oh, good Lord, morning. This is the glory of God. I'm trying hard. I've got lost again. Here we go. Verse 7, we're nearly there. He's coming in the clouds. Clouds often were used in association with God's visible glory. There are a number of texts there on the notes. Just as Jesus was received into a cloud when he ascended to heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we will see him return in like manner. Just as he left with this visible manifestation of God's glory, so he will return in the second coming. And every eye will see him. It's gone out of my head. In Acts, it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. The second coming will be an instantaneous event. It will be a visible event and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him, well, they've died 2,000 years ago. But at the resurrection, they will see him. All tribes on earth will give account. They will wail and mourn and fear punishment from the divine Messiah, the judge of mankind, because he comes as the Alpha and Omega. Those Greek words again, beginning and end. These titles express his divine eternal presence, his omnipotence. He's the all-powerful one of eternity past and eternity future, who was and is to come. Christ as God is an eternal being, the Almighty. That phrase is about his absolute deity. Christ is supreme and sovereign over all. So what's this telling us? What can we learn? God is the revealer. God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've got lots of quotes of scriptures there. The other thing is, the life lessons is that you can trust the Word of God. This is your highway code to life. It gives you lots of things you can't do. Well, God's just a spoil sport, spoiling all my fun. It's a guidebook to living life. You drive a car, you have to follow the rules. If you play football, rugby, you have to follow the rules. Otherwise, it's not a fair game, is it? This is your highway code to life. You can trust the Word of God. Obedience brings blessings. Read this aloud. It brings the blessings, a blessing. It brings the blessing of long life. It brings a blessing of happiness, peace, and a state of well-being. And there are a number of scriptures. So today, think about these questions. Christ is the Alpha and Omega. What difference does that make to your life? Christ is coming again. What difference does that make to your life? You have been freed from your sins. Does that motivate you to live for Christ? And Revelation 1:3 promises that obedient Christians will be blessed. Does that motivate you to obey God's word? I leave those challenges to you. Read through the notes again, because I've rattled through things. There's lots of scriptures in there to follow up. And the best thing about anything you do when you listen to a preacher, especially one as weird as me, is check up that he's speaking the truth. Anyone you listen to, check up. Are they quoting these scriptures right? Does he actually say this in the Bible? Because don't easily be led astray. Is that Philippians or Galatians? Do not be misled. There are warnings in Scripture from the apostles that say, be diligent in what you listen to. Be diligent in who you listen to. Hopefully I bring you a word of encouragement. Focus on Jesus. Your life will be different. Focus on Jesus. Your family will be different. Your finances can be different. Your health can be different. I tell you this because I know it has transformed my family from a council estate where we were on benefits and dysfunctional. And God took the broken pieces of that family and put them back together again. We're not perfect. We still argue. We still squabble. And my brother and I still act like five-year-olds. But I know that when I go to heaven, my granddad's there already because he got saved. I know that my mum's there already after years of being a spiritualist medium, but she got saved. I know my brother's going there sooner rather than later. No, I never said that. Bless Lord, bless him, Lord. I know his wife is saved. I know my two of my nephews and their wives are saved. I know that the next generation, my great nieces and nephews, are being brought up in secure, loving Christian homes. When God changes a family, one like mine that was influenced by a Romany gypsy, because my grandmother was a gypsy, it changes your life. I don't have to be a gypsy. I've never lived in a caravan. I've never stayed in one place too long either. Some things never change. But I know her cousin was Gypsy Smith, a famous evangelist 100 years ago. And I know that they were singers. and storytellers. And so that gift still resides. It's a blessing. When God blesses your family, he blesses those gifts. Share with others, build each other up, encourage each other, because Jesus is coming again. Amen.